The big news in government this week is trade and secrecy. President Obama has been pushing for fast-track authority to negotiate a big trade deal with Asia. Most of the negotiations for the Trans-Pacific Partnership have happened behind closed doors, with opponents saying, why all the secrecy? Stacey Vanek Smith from our Planet Money podcast takes a look at what really happens in the back rooms of a trade deal.
They called themselves the Watergate 300. Negotiators from Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. took over the Watergate Hotel in Washington, D.C. to finish NAFTA negotiations. It was 1992, late July. It was hot, humid, and they planned on wrapping everything up in 2 days.
We just took over many, many hotel rooms. The hotel just pulled out all the furniture. We would just set up a circle of chairs.
Andrew Scheuer was one of the Watergate 300.
You could walk down a hallway and there are negotiations going on really in each room.
In one room, people were arguing about sugar. In another room, cars. In another room, textiles. Ron Sereny was in that room. He was the chief textile negotiator for the U.S. He was 30 years old.
I was nervous, right? I knew that my issue could potentially be the one to derail the agreement.
The issue threatening the multi-trillion dollar trade deal? Wool suits from Canada. Why were wool suits such a big deal? That seemed like Canadian wool suits. I've never thought of Canada as a big suit maker.
There is a company in Canada, I still think they exist there, Peerless. They were starting to compete very intensely with Hartshafter and Marks, all the major suit manufacturers.
Canadian suit maker Peerless had figured something out. It could import wool from Italy duty-free, make a suit, and sell it in the U.S. without paying taxes. U.S. suit makers like Hartshafter Marks were paying a 30% tariff to import wool from Italy. Because of this trade quirk, Canadian companies could sell suits in the U.S. for a lot less. Head Canadian negotiator Michael Wilson says one U.S. colleague summed it up this way.
He said, all I could find in my tailor shop in Washington were Canadian suits made in Montreal.
Every day, Ron Sereny would sit in a little room drinking coffee and going through the latest draft of textile deals with the Canadians and the Mexicans. Can you give me some of the tricks you used back then?
I played a lot of poker, so I think that helped.
One of Sereny's favorite poker moves? Go ask your boss.
You two, as the negotiator reporting to the ministers, you don't want to bring everything to your minister. So that puts a little pressure on you to be reasonable.
Oh, it's like saying, can I please speak with your supervisor?
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Once they reached a deal, Sereny would walk down the hall to the U.S. minister.
There would be congressional staff that were waiting outside to be briefed, hovering over lobbyists, you know, representing yarn spinners or various fabric makers.
Just like hanging out outside of the room?
Right.
The 2 days at the Watergate turned into 2 weeks, and the pressure was on. The president at the time, the first George Bush, really wanted to announce the deal at the Republican National Convention, and that was coming up in less than a week. But one thing still hadn't been settled: Canadian suits. So 30-year-old Ron Sereny found himself in a room with the head negotiators from all the countries, including Carla Hills with the U.S.
I said, I better not screw this up. The minister from Canada turned to me and said, okay, so Ron, what can we do on this issue? And Carla leaned over and whispered in my ear, I'm not feeling very generous. Be very careful. And I knew what our upper limit was. So I went in and proposed something like halfway between.
The Canadians wanted 3 million wool suits to come into the U.S. every year, duty-free. The U.S. wanted none. But the U.S. needed the deal done that day. So Sereny proposed 1.4 million.
And I said, I'm sorry, that's all the room I think that we have to maneuver. And Carla said, that's right, that's it. And we settled.
To this day, Sereny laughs thinking about that bluff. But in the end, 1.4 million suits was enough. Peerless, the Canadian company, boomed. They now make the suits for Calvin Klein, DKNY, Ralph Lauren, Hugo Boss. Its American counterpart, Hartshafter Marks, declared bankruptcy in 2012, and Peerless bought it. Stacey Vanek Smith, NPR News.